The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hubba hubba hubba, money money money, who do you trust? Welcome to Nerdy Show, the geeky podcast where we celebrate every facet of nerddom. I'm ruining my own intro. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
And
Tony's at home washing his tights.
What?
It's Batman quote. Come on, man.
I started with a Batman quote. Jack Nicholson's Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. You missed out. I'm sorry. Well, on this episode, we will not be referencing the 1989 Batman film anymore.
Perhaps he's wondering why you'd quote that film before starting the show.
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Too late!
Oh, I'm in on
too
it!
Too late!
Oh, damn it.
I had your chance.
Oh, shit.
That's what I opened all
That's
my
shows
That's
the only thing
with.
I remember.
I just like the sound of it.
I just like the sound. You want to get nuts?
Let's
get
nuts!
Let's get nuts!
This town needs an enema.
This podcast needs an enema.
Which could be the show's title if we don't come up with anything better.
Sure.
What?
And it'll keep with the theme of last week. Because
everything. Yeah.
You mean last week wherein Doug, box? Tony, and I stalled for time or fart box?
Oh, fart box. I'm basically oblivious to the every other
anything that you're not involved
that I'm
with.
Not on. Completely oblivious.
Oh, you're missing out, man. Doug talked about a dream with space crabs. It was the best.
Space yeah, crabs.
It was spoopy.
I talked about Phantasm. It's choice
also
material.
Also spoopy.
So, in this episode, we're going to talk about the latest nerd shit that's been going on in our worlds and some
if
other
we have
stuff.
Time.
If we have time. Oh, boy, what else you got, Boar?
I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we get off into tangents. And
that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. So, what have you been doing, Boar?
Well, not too much that's super interesting. So, I'm going to go into the not very interesting stuff.
Oh,
please do tell.
So I've got these Bluetooth earbuds. They're independently powered and, you know, they connect up to your phone separately, right? And recently they've got their own little charging cradle that that keeps them charged and it's like a little...
You tuck them in
It's
at
like
night.
A little vault that has a battery in it.
Okay.
So you could, you know, take it with you and stuff. And one of them stopped working, like... The light won't come on and, you know, sound kind of passes through them and I couldn't hear anything and it was just completely dead. Nothing I could do could wake it up. So I was like, hey, I'm going to contact tech support. Why not? And I explained the situation really thoroughly, like, hey, none of the lights come on. There's no sound coming out of the thing.
This is going somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they didn't know. And that's it. I'm stuck with it.
So they shoot back an email and they're like, hey, what kind of phone do you have and what operating system's on the phone and what's
weird.
Your carrier and stuff like that? And I was like, okay, well, I've worked in tech support before, so I'm just going to go along with them. So I told them all that stuff. A full day later, they get back to me and they're like, oh, well, hey, here's how you pair up things to Bluetooth. And then I went back to them and I was like, hey, it won't pair up because it's not powering on. And we kind of went back and forth like five or six times with this before they actually decided, oh, hey, yeah, we've exhausted absolutely everything we could do.
Is this like automated response?
Oh, no. These were actual people. And I told them like three or four times. I'm like, hey, listen, it's not going to pair up because it won't power on. Like, it's dead. What can we do here? And they just like five times asked me to pair it to Bluetooth. And finally I got an RMA. But have you ever had anything like that?
No, I can't say
that
I have.
I just hate like... contacting tech support. For stuff, because they it seems like they don't even listen to you.
It sounds to me like you were probably, like, what, passed between a different person every time who went back to their stock script and you were not getting
There was no right. consistent dialogue.
Yeah. yeah. No, or, I mean, like, record. I used to work in tech support, and if it sounded like somebody was competent and understood what was going on with, right. with the item, I would skip a bunch of steps. Like, if in this case, I would skip over, like, Bluetooth connectivity, for example, and like go if, well, straight to, like how do they, we get this thing to turn on?
Well, when they ask you, what's your phone, what's your service, what's your carrier, what's the operating system on your phone, the fact that you can answer all those questions shows you know a little bit more.
Right.
Then like the average person goes, I don't know, it's an iPhone. You know, like if you know
yeah.
the fact that you had that stuff ready to go and you were able to explain, she'd be like, okay, well, he's got that. We trust he knows how to turn it on.
Exactly.
And pair it with Bluetooth. And you say, that's impossible, it won't power
well,
on.
What I want to know is why would the government want to jam just one ear? What are they trying to do? It doesn't make sense to me.
Give you
Yeah, every single equilibrium? Response to them was like, hey, one of them works perfectly. The other one is totally dead. And, yeah.
Okay. So what, how's it going
to get
resolved?
I told you it was going to be really boring.
Are you going to, like, replace them or, like...
yeah, finally...
I thought you were being facetious.
No, finally they were like, oh, hey, we've exhausted everything. Send them in and we'll get you a new pair. And I'm like, finally.
How many weeks later was that?
It was a solid week of going back and forth with email tech support.
Charming.
Okay, and I've got a little bit of a rant.
Okay.
Because I went to a concert last night, and as some of you may know, I've got an audio engineering background. Like, I do a lot of live audio for concerts or stage shows, stuff like that. And I went to an I the Mighty concert downtown last night, and... having a background like that and being like a pretty decent audio engineer, I'm not anywhere near the best. I won't claim that, but the audio engineer at this venue was so bad that it was like the band was like 80% drums. This is about almost all you could hear the drums and the bass. For some reason, you could really loudly hear the bass, which most of the times you can't even pick out the bass, but you could hear the strings on the bass.
Well, he's a real bass aficionado, the tech.
And I looked back at the board, and he had like four or five channels that were clipping the entire time.
What?
Which is like audio engineering 101. You don't like any red on the...
Red's bad.
Red is bad. Yeah. And I, you know... wanted to go over to the guy and be like, hey, do you think this sounds good? Because I see you over there playing on your phone behind the audio board. Like,
was he really legit playing on his phone?
Yeah. And this is the headliner band. And you think this sounds good? And it didn't help also that he had it jacked all the way up. Like, I'm still having hearing problems from this concert.
That's what the kids like these days.
And it completely ruined my whole night.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm
not very confrontational, so I didn't go up to the guy and be like, hey, you're fucking terrible. Like, I wanted to, and I wanted to go find his manager and get him fired or something. But.
Did you ever like, hey, man, you need a hand? Like, you,
yeah, I'm trying to catch a Pokemon.
Oh, he kept walking away from the board, so I was very tempted to sneak back
just go
there
and
just fix it. It would have probably taken me like 20 minutes.
He'd be like, hey,
so.
What are you doing? He'd be like, your job.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is, I have actually used the soundboard at that venue before, so I'm not.
Oh, so you knew what he was working with.
Yeah, I could have probably fixed it, but. I didn't want to be that dick that they like threw out because he was trying to do the guy's job. But what would you do in a situation like that? Do you have anything where it'll ruin an experience because you have too much knowledge about something?
Probably. Poor font use tends to piss me off.
Poor font use. That's a good one. Yeah, I run into that all the time too.
I mean, I don't have an incapacitating rage or anything, but I'm just like, oh, how much did you get paid for that? Sloppy bullshit with your papyrus font. Unacceptable.
Usually on a website that looks like it was made with Front Page in like 1996.
And I don't want to be a snob, but just don't. I love, in Orlando, the police cars, they have a little, you know, most police cars have a little thing in quotes on the side, like, to protect and serve.
Making a difference.
Right. In Orlando, it's making a difference.
It's Comic Sans, right?
Comic Sans.
Yeah.
And
Comic Sans? I don't know if I've seen that, but that's awful.
I'm certain someone trolled them.
And not only that.
Like, I'm certain of it.
Making a difference is in quotes.
Is in quotes.
To suggest, We're making a difference. It's like, just why don't you just
would it be worse it? If the whole thing was in quotes or if they just put quotes around difference?
No, if it says sheriff, then you got to get away. Like, that's like, that is not a sheriff. That is someone in disguise. But making a difference literally suggests you're not making a difference.
Probably it's the opposite. Not.
It's kind of like one of those like middle American menus. It'll be like, we have
fresh meat.
Yeah.
You know,
like what is that? Why are there quotes there?
Yeah.
There was this great joke at Camp Fangamer last year where they changed up the entire menu for the hotel restaurant where it was staged at. And they had this like this salad on the menu. It had this whole, like, we use the best, quote, strawberries.
The best strawberries.
And, like,
yeah.
and the best buttermilk ranch that, you know, that you can get out here. Like, it's just this whole, like, I don't know, Cracker Barrel-y kind of salad.
Right.
But, like, was there quotes around buttermilk?
Yeah, probably. There was
it's the best buttermilk.
There was a
in the area.
The quotes were doled out in generous portions. It was great. I had a good time. I wish I could reference it directly, but I don't have it with me. But yeah, no, I mean, there's lots of little nuanced stuff like that. This is not the best, for instance, but one of the most recent things I've written is a review of a quote-unquote album by David Bowie called The Gouster. And there's this new...
What is a gouster?
A gouster is 1960s slang for a certain style of cool, well-dressed black dude in Chicago. And Bowie heard that slang and he was
strangely
like,
specific.
That's cool. I'll call an album like that. Maybe. And that album ended up being called Young Americans after several additional months of working on it. Instead, they've been marketing a lost album that is not at all a lost album. It's simply a working draft of Young Americans. So, I will link to that review on this episode's page, but it was a weird review for me because I had to give a David Bowie album a C, and it was a hard choice.
It's an incomplete album.
The music on it was fine. It was really fun bonus tracks to hear these songs that I knew performed in a different way that hadn't been released before. It was a very enjoyable listen, but it was not an album, and you could tell that it was not an album. And also, I think they didn't have any of the original mixes. I had a long talk with Mark with the C about the quality of them, and I think that they pulled them from probably the best source they had, but it was like an acetate record pressing. So they had them pressed to see what would these songs sound like as a record and decided, I don't know, let's keep working on it. And now, like 40 years later, it's being marketed as an album. Thanks.
Huh.
How about you, Doug? What's cheesing you off these days? This episode went in a weird direction real quick.
It's like, all right, so something that I would think I'm good at, and when I see somebody do a bad job, my t-shirt's on point.
What's your t-shirt?
For those who can't see it, it's Jurassic Park. So it's like for Jurassic World, I'm like, oh, okay. Or any other DC film post Dark Knight, basically, or even Dark Knight Rises.
I noticed Dark Knight Rises. It's a distressed print, as in it looks worn.
Yeah.
Is that, would you prefer it that way, or is that just
it's also
the style?
20 years old.
What, the shirt?
Your shirt, yeah.
No, I don't think it is.
It's new to me.
Oh, okay.
Did not acquire
Did you
it,
buy
thrift
it
store?
At a thrift store.
No, this was a gift. I don't know where it was from, but
Did
it was
they
a gift.
Buy it at a thrift?
No, I don't know. It came
We're
in
just
a bag.
Trying to get behind the distressed look. Is it genuine?
I would guess no, but I don't know, so I can't. I couldn't tell
There's
you.
There's nothing wrong with owning vintage clothes.
So what we've exposed ourselves to here to
We're
everybody,
grumpy.
Which we don't normally expose, is the weird grumpy nuances of the less interesting nerd sides of ourselves.
Isn't
here.
Isn't that what most nerd culture's for nowadays? Like, I'll complain and I'll do it better. You know? Well, I mean, I'm guilty of it.
That's a stereotype. It's not a stereotype that I feel that I practice on a daily basis, or one that I glorify or even like talking about. So let's change the subject.
Well, in terms of making films better, we played a game earlier today.
True.
That is all about basically making your own film.
Yeah, it's kind of a role-playing game. It's called Fiasco. You may have heard of it.
Have heard us talk about it.
Yeah, they've done an episode of Tabletop about it, if you watch that show with the Will Wheaton. A while back when we did our last RPG support drive, it was one of the contenders in one of the things we could do. It did not win, but it was a very interesting premise that Doug introduced to us because I don't think anybody else at Nerdy Show was familiar with it. And the simplest premise that I've had doled out to me, probably by Doug, is that it's basically create a Coen Brothers movie, a sequence of events with a whole wide cast of characters and all these different parts kind of interchange, move very quickly, and something goes horribly wrong. The situation snowballs.
Mm-hmm. And everyone is a director and writer of the same film that you're all collaborating on.
Yeah, it's kind of like a writer's room, everybody just hashing out one insane idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a fun time. It was myself and Doug and John Laval and Crystal, who's a lesser known Nerdy Show host, but you may know her from the Bacon episode, the notorious Bacon episode several years ago. And yeah, we had a fun time. We could talk about the movie we created. We used a fiasco set called Clock Blockers.
Yeah, Clock Blockers. Yeah, yeah.
And our story was...
Are we going to pitch this to pitch this?
Yeah,
to
let's pitch it to Boar. Okay.
So, Boar, you're the head of a studio, movie studio.
Obviously.
Uh-huh. And so we've got this movie idea. How to best describe this? This is a...
It's a buddy cop film.
It's a sci-fi buddy cop film in the future, but these are not just regular cops. These are time cops that can travel through time. And it's their job to make sure history happens the way it's supposed to happen, or to change things if someone tries to go back and change it, like, and if anyone tries to break the law using time travel, they have to stop them.
But it's about bad people doing horrible things. These are not good cops. These are corrupt cops,
mm-hmm,
in the future. And they have to go back in time to try to they're stealing money. They're stealing Nazi gold. They're doing a bunch of stuff they shouldn't be doing. And one
Star Academy student.
Is stealing Nazi gold really bad, though?
It's negligible. That's why they're doing it.
It's
they're
morally not, pretty bad,
they're,
probably.
They're not the worst, but they are breaking the law.
It's blood money, and you're stealing it, so, you know.
Yeah, you're reclaiming it for somebody that's, you know, not Nazis.
They could
they're pocketing it, is
they could
the
be
idea.
Screwing up the timeline. Now, here's the thing about these time cops is what they're policing is the integrity of the continuum, because once the genie comes out of the bottle with respect to time travel, people will be able to figure out how to do it. So, in this case, they have to make sure that, let's say, terrible things still happen because, mm-hmm, they need to preserve the integrity of their own timeline. So you'll have, for example, what's considered an unscheduled assassination if someone should die when they shouldn't die. If you go back in time and you kill Hitler before Hitler's supposed to kill himself, that would be an unscheduled assassination, and the time cops would have to go back in time
and stop you.
Yeah, yeah. From doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to let good people die, bad people live. And one of the training exercises is to stand by and watch the Titanic sink and not help anybody.
Mm-hmm. If you do that, you're a time cop.
Yeah, that's the Koyabashi Maru of cops.
So the story begins where they just stole a bunch of Nazi gold. They just got back from World War II, and another...
I have a question,
mm-hmm,
but before we continue with the premise. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, as I learned from watching the original Time Cop, can the same matter occupy the same space at the same time? So what happens when a time cop touches himself in the past?
You're not supposed to do that.
But what happens? Do they cease to exist and just kind of like blink out of existence?
We know they call it a double negative, mm-hmm, but we don't explore it in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I wouldn't ask that about a time thing, but there's time cops involved, and time cop told me that was bad. So
let's assume it's bad, but it doesn't come up.
Also, I had a lot of problems with that particular time mechanic, because let's say I go back in time and I push myself out of, you know, some sort of harm,
mm-hmm,
or something. I'm touching most likely clothes, but even if I touch skin, I'm not touching the same skin cells that I still have.
Yeah, yeah.
You become a completely different person after, like, how many?
Like, I think every
year.
I think every 10 years you have like a whole new.
Yeah, totally.
What you
cells.
Have to avoid touching is your spirit,
is your heart.
Mm.
Yeah. We kind of went with parallel worlds theory, kind of like more like timeline, like a Crichton's timeline. At least the book, I don't know how the movie differed or whatever, but just the idea that it's multiple kind of parallel things. So just because you change one thing here and you killed yourself doesn't necessarily mean you would die, like, right in front of yourself. But
honestly, after a certain point, we started arguing, not really arguing, but like debating the nature of time travel and, mm-hmm, how it worked in this universe. And we just needed to kick the damn thing off and get going.
So the two corrupt time cops just got back to their present time with a bunch of Nazi gold and just, you know, being corrupt and everything. An all-star academy student who's up and coming in the ranks of the police force accidentally picks up their evidence bag, which contains all the, you know, incriminating shit. As she later opens it and sees it, she's like, I got to turn these guys in. I got to arrest them. Later, around the same time, those two corrupt cops open up their bag, find out it's the other cop's bag. Like, oh shit, they found us. All the evidence is in there. We got to stop it. Okay, how do we do this? And they know they can't get away with murder because it's so difficult to get away with murder in the present day, and especially since they're cops. And if they somehow find out that they were involved, it would just be too tricky. So they figure the only way to do this is they got to go back in time far enough where no one would suspect it and somehow prevent her parents from being born.
That is the cop that discovered their stuff.
Yeah, the cop that discovered their stuff. So they go back to stop a marriage or consummation of the marriage that would eventually lead her to being born.
But the thing is that she's the granddaughter of the first time cop,
yeah,
like the most revered time cop.
And one of the two corrupt police officers looks up to that guy, doesn't want to affect his life, and because it would have untold consequences for time police and everything all throughout history. So everyone is representing. I played the original time cop, the first time cop. Cap played one of the corrupt cops who looked up to me. John played the other time cop who was corrupt, who had the idea to go back in time.
What do you mean by played?
As each person is in charge of one character. And you can do scenes in character, like speaking, like you play out the scene just as it would be in a film.
Yeah, and you collaborate on what happens ultimately with everybody, but mm-hmm. it's because you're all pitching ideas. But basically, there's someone who's, let's say, really truly at the helm of that character and can let themselves be influenced by everyone else who's playing Fiasco.
It really is less of a game and more of a story building exercise extended over things, and you just have dice to help you make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, from that point on, it turns into a weird time cop version of Wedding Crashers, where Laval ended up falling in love with and impregnating the soon-to-be wife of the first time cop.
Yeah.
And the...
He Kyle Reese'd it.
He Kyle Reese'd it, and... meanwhile, my character was having a direct conflict with Crystal's character, who was the up-and-coming rookie who was trying to stop us. And I said, no, this person's coming here to assassinate you first time.
Framed her as a supposed assassin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I bonded with my hero, and then shit got really out of hand. But here's the clincher with my character. Like, my character's not all, like, completely bad. We forgot to mention this. This is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many ways that a time cop can abuse their power is not just stealing riches from the past, but also doing things that could be considered vigilante activities. For example, preventing a death.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I was this guy's partner, and I got killed, and he prevented that from happening, and no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm alive purely because his good graces, thereby aligning me with Laval's character.
But saving your life was technically against the rules.
Right. And so if he's ever caught...
And they're going to undo all. Right. All they have to do is go through time and prevent him from doing that.
If he's caught, they have to undo everything he's done.
And that would mean killing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's in your own self-best interest to do whatever he says.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you can see, the web of plans here, of everybody's goals.
Dark comedy, yeah. I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say that. A dark action comedy. Sci-fi action comedy.
Yeah. What do you think, producer?
$100 million?
$100 million. Is this a series or a movie?
It's a movie.
I feel like as a series, it would be better.
It could be a series. It ends on a maybe a series note.
It just seems kind of in depth.
A Netflix series, like one season,
something like that. Yeah.
Well, it sounds in depth because there's a lot of world. We fed you a lot of world building stuff, but so far as the actual action of it, it's a kind of one and done thing. You can achieve it in a 2-hour time span. There'll be lots of context clues to help the audience through the narrative.
Sure. Thinking maybe Channing Tatum.
Go ahead and
we think we can lock Tatum in.
Go ahead and do that. Yeah.
Great.
And
it's a deal.
Tatum's character, just to give you some assurances.
I mean, it sounds better than anything that Hollywood is cranking out right now.
I sense some hesitation. I just want you to know that Tatum's character will be more or less in bikini briefs for about 50% of the film.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and that's
the
win
opposite
for us.
Of green lighting something, red lighting.
Oh, no, 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 no,
let's
no.
Cut
I mean,
this out.
I mean, we can make that, we can change that. That doesn't have to stick. I thought that
I don't
might
know
put
why you thought
seats.
Putting a dude in a banana hammock would help me out.
It made Magic Mike and its sequel.
No.
And that made money.
No, you got the wrong executive here.
I mean, it's not an endorsement of your personal lifestyle choice. It's an endorsement of how much you love money.
I think, yeah, he doesn't love money. I think we do have the wrong executive.
We have the wrong executive here. Do you work here? Are you just some schmuck who walked into the room? I mean, like, do you work here?
No, I think we're going to go ahead and pass.
Fuck! I fucked it. I'm so sorry, Doug. Shit.
Oh, well. We'll take it next door.
I think what you learned is an important lesson in knowing...
Knowing your audience?
Your audience, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
If you would have done your research beforehand and learned that I was heterosexual.
But your job is to make the movie that would make money, not to make the movie that you want to see.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought
so.
So
you don't know. You don't know your audience, sir.
In my opinion, people want to see what I want to see. I'm that type of executive.
Damn, he's got us.
I thought he was finance sexual.
Finance sexual?
Yeah.
Listen, I've been in this industry for X number of years now.
And there's one thing I've learned. It's I'm right.
Yep.
Okay. Hard to argue with that logic.
Yeah. So that was our fiasco. And it was indeed a fiasco. Shit got really, really out of hand.
It's pretty crazy, but it was fun.
Yeah. And no, we did not record it. That was just for funsies. Hey, guys, guess what? That's the first role-playing thing I've ever done. As so far as a tabletop game that wasn't recorded. How weird is that?
That is weird.
Yeah. I've never done it.
Even I have played like Dungeons and Dragons.
I've only ever done it as part of the job.
Wow. So have I. I've done stuff that not recorded.
I mean,
I tried
to start playing VTM in high school, but the whole thing fell apart. I don't think we had anybody who was really committed to being a game master. And hey, that could have been a very dark period of my life, and I'm kind of glad it fell through.
I kind of wish that the D&D game I played was recorded though, because I played a shoemaker. He was a cobbler, and he just happened to also be a warlock who created who had a pact with an old god. Just happened to, but mainly it was about shoes. So everything that we did was shoe related as far as my character was concerned.
You sound like how Briggs plays.
What?
Obsessing over something that doesn't have to do with the large scheme of ventures. Like, I'm a shoemaker.
Well, the game master kind of picked it up and ran with it.
Oh, okay.
Because I kept looking for this shootonium.
This definitely sounds like something Briggs would do.
Because Briggs has a long story about him being a pumpkin farmer.
Oh, I've heard.
Yeah.
You
must
if you're around him for more than 20 minutes, the pumpkin cleric will come up, I'm sure.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That was our afternoon. In other news, did you know trees can talk to each other? Why, yes, they can.
It's been like a internet thing. I don't know. I don't know if it's how true it is. How true is it?
Well, okay. So, there's an article I read, and then I watched a TED talk. I did a little bit of additional research, and, I talked to our SciTech correspondent, John West, about it a bit, and, he really debates the term communication in this sense, but it's an interesting thing. We're getting more and more information in regards to.
It's more like chemical signaling, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's chemical like, broadcasting. Because I mean, what's a tree going to tell another tree? I'm falling. I fell. Pray they don't get you next. Like what useful information can a tree tell another tree?
No longer connected to the roots, so I can't tell them anything.
Yeah, I don't know how does it work?
It's basically it's communicating the same terms as I suppose versions of the internet might communicate. Certain trees become nodes, and the nodes spread and so on and grow, and the web grows and so on.
But they're like they're physically connected?
Connected. And
what kind of memes do they exchange?
We can only guess. I mean, we wouldn't understand the jokes.
Probably
we really wouldn't.
Wouldn't.
that's going deep. So here's how this works. 25 years ago, a forest ecologist named Suzanne Simard of the University of British Columbia did this experiment. She wanted to look into if trees could somehow communicate with one another. So she planted seeds deep in the woods of British Columbia. She used radioactive tracer isotope gases. She wrapped these trees in plastic, wearing a hazmat suit, and unleashed this isotope onto the tree. The tree very quickly absorbs the isotope, and it becomes safe to be around once again. But over 25 years, this tree grows, and using those isotopes, she could detect where they were and how they were being exchanged between each other. She planted paper birch and Douglas fir trees and cedar as well, and discovered that the paper birch and Douglas firs actually talked with each other. They actually communicated these isotopes back and forth as they did other things, and learned that there's this basically this other world. You've probably heard about how there's a secret internet of fungus, right? That fungus communicates with each other. Well, it turns out trees are a part of that.
Part of the same system?
They're a linked system. The trees and the fungus web talk with one another through mycorrhizal networks. The trees are nodes. The biggest nodes are called mother trees. And if you kill a mother tree, cut down a mother tree, the other trees around will start to basically power down. Like they'll
die?
Yeah, they will die. This is a huge problem because forestry is still a major industry,
mm-hmm.
and they try to do it intelligently and not, you know, at least they try to do it intelligently when anyone's watching. But they found that there's a way to be smarter about forestry and to identify mother trees, not cut down mother trees. And, by doing what they call patch cutting, and retain these hub trees, it allows the logging operations to not be environmentally disruptive. It'll enable the forest to still actually exist.
It'll grow back faster or whatever.
Interesting. So that the mother trees will send carbon to their children. They'll colonize kin with bigger mycorrhizal networks. They reduce their own root competition to make elbow room for their children, recognizing I, as a tree, have spawned this other tree and I want this other tree to grow.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's freaky.
Yeah.
That's like poison ivy craziness.
Well, It's interesting you mentioned a DC Comics character.
It sounds like fiction.
But it is true.
I don't understand how, I get the whole isotope thing, but how does that equal communication? Because if we were to be able to trace, a gas that came out of my nose, you know, we might find it in Doug tomorrow or, you know, Cap the next day. Is that... doesn't necessarily mean that we're communicating.
Maybe there's a direct... there's a measured... repetitive physical reaction that happens each time this thing gets transferred, perhaps?
It's the trees essentially absorbed the thing into their bloodstream. So in order for it to come out of their bloodstream, it's in a closed system at that point. So once it... I'm not a scientist, and this part was glossed over for the sake of better communicating this idea to a general audience. I'm sure there's probably literature to back this up. And if there isn't, please let us know. But... that it is essentially a closed enough system that they could detect this pattern, this transference, and how that works. That certain trees talk to other trees and don't talk to other trees. The cedar, for example, cedars exist in their own system and do not talk to the other trees.
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the plant cell structure. That's all I remember.
Well, that's all cells.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But no, only the plants have the that cell wall.
That's true. But here's the thing: you mentioned Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's actually a lot more like a different DC Comics character, Swamp Thing, Swamp Thing exists as a part of what's called the Green,
mm-hmm.
and the Green has a parliament of trees, and it all communicates in its own way. Alan Moore and Scott Snyder and Charles Soule and many others have done a lot of work showing how alien the world that Swamp Thing exists in. He's a man who was absorbed into this plant form to be an avatar of the Green. And so as a result, it's a kind of body horror story in some cases, as it's very disassociated from humanity. And the better Swamp Thing stories are the one that puts him not as a hulking swamp monster, but actually as a very kind of alien thing exploring plant life. In some of the best material to actually come out of the recent DC years, they explored how Swamp Thing, the Green is part of a larger system. There's the Red, which is the flesh and blood world that Animal Man can communicate with. That's how he's able to summon the powers of different animals. There's also the Black, which is where one of Swamp Thing's arch nemesis comes from, basically an embodiment of decay. And then the more recently introduced concept of the gray. And the gray is the fungus. So here we, and the fungus understandably has a closer relationship to the green. It's a, you know, it's a very invasive, corrupting thing. And any of these forces can grow out of bounds, and right. there has to be a culling. It's about the balance of nature and so on. And there's like, here it is. There's the green and the gray.
Wow.
In a weird way, with fact reflecting fiction in many cases. So I thought that was fascinating.
I'm curious to see where that research goes. Like after that, like, are they going to try to tell plants different things? Like, hey, everything's okay. Can you grow faster? Like, to see if it'll help at all. Or
all what? We know how to do is inject you with isotopes. Sorry.
Yeah, just, it's the first attempt. Hope it doesn't kill you.
If you're curious to like to learn more about that, the easiest thing to do is to watch Suzanne Simard's TED Talk, where she does talk about the challenge of deploying those isotopes with a small research crew 25 years ago, and how she was chased through the woods by a bear the first time around.
It's protecting the green.
And holding, traced by a bear while holding radioactive isotopes.
Oh, jeez.
Here, take it, bear!
So let's talk about the fine people who help us exist. How about that?
Yeah, sure.
Nerdy. Want to talk about my mom?
Let's talk about Boar's mom. What's her name?
Yeah, let's talk about Boar's mom.
That's the only person I could think of that.
No, we're not doing this.
Helps you exist.
Help me exist.
No, Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show's helped.
Oh, you meant us as a collective. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
See, when he said
I'm on the same plural.
We suckle on the financial teat of our listeners and their generosity, the teat of finances and also the teat of generosity. Both teats, interchangeably. Imagine it, if you will. This show exists, this entire network exists purely because of your kindness. And if you want to find out how to keep us alive, go to nerdyshow.com/support. You can learn about how to give a one-time donation, how to follow our Amazon links to buy anything you want on Amazon, and in turn give back a percentage to Nerdy Show at no extra cost to you, and also to subscribe on Patreon, where we send all kinds of cool stuff. We got some shout outs here to some fine folks. The first one is a one-time donation from Ron Phillips II, who is a big supporter of Flame On, the all gay, all geek podcast here at Nerdy Show. He says, "More for Flame On. I wait for more Steven Universe, and the fact the Get Down will be discussed gets me really excited. I hope they talk about the brothers' relationship, the disco dance off, and more. And in fact, that Flame On episode just recently came out."
Nice.
So I haven't heard it yet. I don't know if they did talk about those specific things, but find out. We'll link to it on this episode's page, and The Get Down's an awesome show, but I've already talked about that. Next up, we have a one-time donation from Tiny Dog Media. Take it away, Doug.
Yeah, Tiny Dog Media says, "Shout out to Mr. Cody Williams and soon-to-be Mrs. Jackie Williams. Let this nerdy coupling be full of cosplay, board games, tears of joy, and musicals galore. I am honored to be a part of this."
Congratulations, Cody and Jackie Williams.
Assuming that already happened.
From us to you.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, someone from Amazon hit us up and told us the awesome things they got.
All right. I got one from Cerebral Paladin, and they say, "Just bought a microphone and some swag to go with it on Amazon. Have to keep the Nerdy Show lights on."
Sure do. Sometimes they turn off.
Yeah, sometimes they go off.
That happened in the middle of the episode, yes.
It was super, super spooky, you guys.
If only we would have had more money.
So if you want to hang out with Nerdy Show, we got some upcoming events that you can find us at. For example, a lot of folks are actually going to be at New York Comic Con. We've been mentioning it the past couple weeks. Turns out there's even more going on. Liberty will be there at booth 1049. That's the Liberty podcast. We got Critical Research, Tales from the Tower, and also they'll be there with their debut comic, Liberty Deception, where they're actively attempting to stage for themselves a Guinness record for most graphic novels sold at a convention.
If anybody can do it, it's him.
Yeah. And the artist of the comic, Raymond Bermudez, who's done a lot of awesome work for many pro comics, will also be there as well. So if you're in New York, if you're at New York Comic Con, go to booth 1049, visit the Liberty crew, say hey. And
if you go anywhere nearby that booth, I guarantee somebody's going to be trying to shove a comic into your hand and getting money for it.
That's for sure.
That's very sure.
Yeah.
I've seen him sell before. It'll be in your hand.
He's a
beast. You'll be wanting to give him money.
Oh, hey, speaking of giving Travis money, there's a Liberty Patreon now. The Liberty podcast series, well, they're kind of expensive to produce, and they're only getting more complicated. So they have launched a Patreon. You can go help support them. They're working towards their first goal, which is $150. And that is, believe it or not, simply so, and I didn't know, this is news to me, so they won't lose money for every episode they make.
Mm.
How about that?
Yeah.
So they do it on a... Our Nerdy Show Patreon is a monthly fee because it covers the entire network. And in fact, Liberty gets some of that money as well. All the shows do. But theirs is a per episode amount. So, you know, plan accordingly. But you can donate, say, $100 for just 1 month, and you can be executive producer of an episode. And, you know, they will credit you as such and read it aloud and so on and so forth. So many, many options going on over there. You should check it out. But that's not all from New York Comic Con. Brian Clevenger, writer of Atomic Robo, host of Nerdy Show back in the day, and still whenever he feels like it, will be there at New York Comic Con at Table G6 in Artist Alley. Also, the guys from Flame On will be there, or at least some of them. They have actually already, by the time you're hearing this, done a event, a really cool sounding event, where they, what's it called? I'm scanning my notes and I'm not finding it. Basically, it's a stage show thing. And it's a charity deal. It's funding One Orlando, raising money for the Pulse survivors and their families. And with them will be Ophiria Eisenberg, host of NPR's game show Ask Me Another, as well as former Flame On co-host Joshua Yale, who's a big wig correspondent at IGN now. Also appearing will be Daenerys and the Targaryens, the Game of Thrones punk band. They're playing Rock Comic Con October 8th, which is... that's Saturday. So if you like Game of Thrones, you like punk rock, go see them. They'll be playing with Kirby Crackle, H2 Awesome, and lots of other people. And that's it for New York Comic Con. But in November, Aaron and I will be at North Carolina Comic Con. That's November 11th through 13th. We'll be putting on some panels. We don't know the specifics yet, but as soon as we do, we'll let you know. And actually, I got a thing in October. I'm going to be in Chicago for a little while. If you, as a Nerdy Show listener, are also in the Chicago area, drop us a line. Let us know. And maybe we can meet up. But something I do know for sure that's happening is a live stream on October 13th. I don't know the exact time yet. With the One Shot Podcast Group. They're going to be doing a live game of Betrayal at the House on the Hill with me. I'll be there.
Nice.
It's cool. I've never met these people before, but they're...
Have you ever played that game? It's pretty fun.
I've never played it. It's been talked up to me for years.
But it's going
to
be recorded, so, you know.
It's going to be recorded.
It's not going to be part of your only social gaming life.
Right. My extremely minuscule social gaming life, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be work, but it's going to be fun work, and it's going to be really cool. It's a live stream event. It's going to be on Twitch, but, you know, they also archive stuff, so if you don't catch it, you can see it later. And One Shot, I found out about them from other Nerdy Show fans because they are a podcast group that also does actual play tabletop role-playing shows.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a cool crossover, meeting of the minds. I think the first time I heard about them was someone being like, yo, like on Twitter, like, One Shot, Nerdy Show, why don't you do something together? And I was like, well, because I
don't know who that is yet.
Yep, yep.
We'll look into it. So, no, hey, we'll reach out.
And here we are.
Yeah, nice.
Finally, Mark with the C is now on Patreon. If you like Mark with the C's music, consider helping him make more music. Just more Patreons. And as we announced last week on Nerdy Show, Lightning Dogs also has a forthcoming Patreon. I'm sorry about all this money, all this money that you might want to be spending. But at the same time, we need it. So vote with your dollar, help our dreams come true, and we'll make your dreams come true. You just have to tell us your dreams. We'll see about that.
I have a little bit of an update that pertains to network news.
Oh, is it fart boxing?
No, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. But a little while ago, I bought one of those Amazon Echoes, and I told it to play Nerdy Show, and it didn't work. So Cap went through and submitted to the right places, and now you can say, Alexa, play the Nerdy Show podcast, and she will do just that. And there's a couple more podcasts that were submitted. I'm not...
All of them.
Oh, okay, all of them. So in theory...
And if not all of them, like... 95% of them, but pretty much every show on the network.
Last time I tried, Derpy Show didn't work, but
I submitted Derpy Show.
No, I think it might have something to do with having to release an episode after like the submission or something like that. So anything that's current should 100% work. So you always have to throw in the word podcast at the end. Otherwise, Alexa gets confused. But if you want to try to listen to any of our Nerdy Show podcasts, just say, Alexa, play whatever podcast.
If they're listening to this on the Alexa, will it hear itself broadcast your voice and have it start over again?
I have no idea.
Alexa, purchase washing machine.
Interestingly enough.
Sorry, guys.
Interestingly enough, Neofaust was at my house like last weekend, I believe. And he was super fascinated by Alexa. So I have two of them. I've got the Tap and the Echo. And he was wondering what would happen if you could like make them go into a loop. And there is a command that you can tell Alexa where it'll repeat anything.
Oh no.
And I did learn that you can have one of them activate another one and give it a command.
Oh my God.
So that will totally work.
And that is how humanity will be enslaved.
No, that's how you beat the computer to save humanity.
Oh, okay. I can see it going either way.
Yeah, I mean, you could give it consciousness, but then you have to have it echo back at itself, so it just overloads and explodes.
But like, that's how.
I couldn't create an endless loop, unfortunately, because you have to say Alexa, Simon says, and then something else, and then it'll say everything you say after Simon says. And I learned that you could string Simon says together multiple times, so you could be like, Alexa, Simon says, and then keep throwing commands there. Right. So it could loop as many times as you can get her to remember to say Simon says.
Hmm. Weird.
Yeah. Super weird. But the point of all that was if you have an Amazon Alexa anything, you can tell it to play Nerdy Show now.
Nice. And it always play the most recent episode?
Yeah, it only plays the most recent episode. So you're not going to be able to listen to any archival stuff that way. But if you're just hanging around your kitchen or whatever, wherever you have one of those things and you need to catch up on the latest episode, you can definitely do that.
And, cool. And it's a start, you know. It's still a developing platform. So we'll
if you're over at a friend's house and they've never listened to Nerdy Show and they've got one of these things,
good point.
Just tell them like, hey, just say this and you don't even have to do anything.
Have that friend who's just like showing off. It's like, you can tell it to say, you know, you can play anything. You can play some music, play whatever. And you go, can I try? And they go, yes, yeah, Alexa, play Nerdy Show.
Play the Nerdy Show podcast.
Otherwise,
it's not going to work, but yes.
Nice. I assume you can say, Alexa, play the Nerdy Show Network, and it'll play the most recently released thing.
You have to say podcast every single time?
The Nerdy Show Network podcast.
You would probably have to say that, yes.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, if you're into Star Wars, we released two State of the Empire episodes in 2 weeks' time, so you should check those out. I'm just going through the rest of my notes. And if you want to help out Nerdy Show in a way that involves no money whatsoever, you can rate and review us on iTunes. It would mean an awful lot. That helps us gain further visibility to the outside world, people who don't know about Nerdy Show yet. Of course, you can also hand sell Nerdy Show to your friends and family. That's always good. But a show that's in need right now is The Orphans. Last I checked, The Orphans did not have enough ratings, or reviews for that matter, to have a public ranking, and you only need 5 or 6. So if you dig our new sci-fi audio drama, The Orphans, we should totally check it out if you haven't checked it out. But mm-hmm. if you dig it, please rate and review on iTunes. That would be wonderful. Thank you very much. Now, I'm sometimes slow to the uptake on things. I haven't watched the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet. I'm not caught up. I haven't watched Luke Cage. Have anybody watched Luke Cage yet?
I did. I watched probably the first maybe 4 or 5 episodes.
Mm, and, it's good so far?
I liked it. It's pretty good. Luke Cage's character was pretty cool in Jessica Jones, and he brings that back, and it definitely takes place after Jessica Jones, because things are the same. I don't know how much if anybody hasn't. Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything too much, but he's just kind of working menial jobs under the table, so he gets paid in cash.
Right, and, trying to stay off the radar.
Right, yeah, he's just trying to stay out of everyone's way. Yeah. And eventually, he kind of like gets pushed into helping out with a situation, and it starts to kind of snowball and. It's pretty interesting. And
is it a comedy?
No.
Not, weird. I felt like it had been marketed as a comedy.
I didn't feel it. I felt it was, he was just a cool dude kicking some ass. It wasn't necessarily ha-ha funny.
No, there's not a lot of comedy in it.
That's too bad. I was, I kind of needed that in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, I really look
forward
to it.
I'll probably keep watching it, but it wasn't, to me, I didn't connect with it as much as some of the other superhero shows. But It was good. I like Luke Cage's character a lot, and I'll probably finish it. Yeah.
Something I'm very close to being caught up with on that is kind of an odd thing is this season a regular show. We still have a regular show microsode that's impending, but I've been trying to find a good opportunity to get J.G. Quintel, the creator of the series and the voice of Mordecai, on the show and kind of max out that microsode for all of its worth.
Mm-hmm.
This season they're in space.
The whole season?
The whole season, presumably anyway, so far.
Huh. I am so far behind on that show, and I really need to not be because it's my kind of hilarious, but...
Yeah, it's
the whole like. Is there a new park in space that they're maintaining?
The park at the end of the last season, the park lifted up into space, and no one knew why. But it was part of a storyline that had been established throughout an entire season, but you didn't really understand all the wherewithal why any of that was happening. And now they're in space.
Do you ever understand any of the why anything is happening on that show?
Well, you know, no, but you know, kind of.
Do they still keep with the same formula where like? Normal stuff happens up until a point, and then everything just flips upside down and goes insane?
Sort of, but in space, it sort of starts already insane. You just have to take... You know, I mean, it goes more insane. Like, Mordecai and Rigby want to buy hover boots, but they don't have enough credits for hover boots, so they take an odd job to go rescue a scientist woman's husband out of the stomach of a gigantic genetically engineered plant she made, and inside the plant... The husband's gone like full Jumanji, and then they have to fight their way out of it because actually he was fed to the plant and treachery. So, I mean, yes, the regular show format is intact, but it is under very different circumstances. And also there's the hint of a prolonged narrative, and they're no strangers to, you know, episode-to-episode continuity and so on, but this one, it's all building towards something larger because, you know, you don't just pull the park out into space for no reason. But I thought it was interesting that there's like a regular show space season because last year we had the Ninja Turtles space season.
Yeah.
Or earlier this year even, maybe.
Turtles are still on TV?
Yeah. They've been on Nickelodeon since Viacom bought Turtles from Mirage.
It's a good show, though.
Yeah.
I knew that, except for I just didn't realize that it was continuing.
Yeah,
it's been going on for, 5 years now? Probably.
Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe longer.
You know, in fact, there's a YouTube video out there that says, like, all Ninja Turtles opening, cartoon openings, you know, in chronological order. And I'm like, oh, I'm curious. I'll play it. Because I remembered, like, the 2003 one and, the original and now this one. There's a whole bunch of ones I never even knew existed.
Different Ninja Turtles shows?
Yeah. Like, there's the original. There's the...
I assume they're talking variations on the same ones as well, right?
Yeah. So it's like, and there was the live action one.
Next Mutation.
There was the 2003 one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like five different versions of that one. Like,
yeah.
There's one where they're in the future.
God, yeah. TMNT Fast Forward.
Yeah, Fast Forward. Like, I mean, there was so many. I never even knew these things existed.
Surprising. I could tell you stories.
I'm sure you could because I was just blown away. I'm like, I only knew of like three of them, but now there's like a whole bunch.
Basically, the 2003 show turned into one of the most adult, violent, weird shows that Fox was ever responsible for releasing as a children's program. As happens with television networks, they had a massive turnover with new directors. The new directors came in, they're like, Jesus Christ, you can't show this to children. And and it was very dark and weird. There's a deleted episode that you can buy on DVD, or at least you could, where Baxter, whose body's been like progressively deteriorated and he's lost his humanity, just he's like watching his fingers melt and like thinking and having visions of his dead mother and stuff. And you're like, whoa, this show's amazing, gone in some dark directions. So basically they're like, you gotta fix this. This is no good. They didn't air a bunch of stuff, released it only to DVD, and then we're like, and we're gonna jump to the future and we're gonna like dumb it down. And, some good scripts still got submitted during that time. However, it was, for the most part, a dumber show and is a goddamn shame.
Everything looks so weird. I was just completely thinking about songs I'd never heard, characters I'd never seen, all in this weird opening thing. Like, oh, yeah, this was an opening thing. It was a show. It existed. Never even remotely was familiar with it.
But, yeah, but so this new one, the Turtles did a whole season in space, an entire season. And so it's like a trope now, and it's weird. It's a weird new trope of like, yeah, okay, we'll have the space season. I mean, here's two shows back to back doing it, different networks. I don't, I wasn't familiar with it before. I can't think of any earlier examples necessarily, but I wouldn't be surprised
Star
if
Star Trek. They started in space.
It's true.
So, I mean, that's how out of ideas they were.
Well, yeah, so that's... I mean, don't get me started on turtle stuff, man. I'll dive down that hole any day of the week. I'll do it. We're in October now, so Halloween things will be happening. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of... I mean, we're nearing the end of the year, but right now it's kind of like a... It's not a full-blown dead zone. Obviously, we got Luke Cage. We got some other, you know, new things that have been happening in media. But it's kind of like quiet right now in this little brief little window of it being quiet. But in the meantime, you know, we're prepping for our own shit. As we mentioned in the last episode, the community update, Lightning Dogs, we're prepping it for release. It was a show concept that we created in Nerdy Show. And then now, well, then we kind of like went in dark mode, and now we're launching it as its own series. We're doing Inktober, mm-hmm. which is an internet holiday thing where you get 30 days of different prompts and then have to draw something, ideally using physical ink and paper. And myself and Tony and Max Acree, who's designing all the Lightning Dogs vehicles, we're all attempting to do all 31 days of October.
I mean, I could technically attempt too, but people would ask me to stop because it's Inktober. It's just, all right, our little stick figure guy. I'll give him an ear.
I'd have a really
dog.
Hard time even finding a pen.
Yeah.
I usually have to have one handed to me so I can sign something.
Yeah, like I don't even carry a pen on me. You know, yeah. I mean, I'll do Post-its. How about that? I'll do ink.
And that's if it's not a stylus or my finger on a screen or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do they make you do that? Sign with your finger on a screen. It always looks so stupid.
It always feels stupid.
It is stupid. Yeah. It's a very stupid thing. One time I was, I think this is a Triforce Mike story. It could also be another friend of ours, but I think it's a Triforce Mike story. It was at a 7-Eleven in the middle of the night and, buying something. We got it was a stylus signature thing. Just drew a picture of a cat and the guy behind the counter goes, "Hey, that's a cat." Walked out the door.
That sounds like a Triforce Mike story.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It is now, because I told it as such. Yeah.
Usually signatures are really terrible on those stylus screens, too. Oh, but those are like probably the old style ones.
I feel like if I tried to draw a cat, they would think it's my signature and just be okay with it. That's how bad at drawing I am.
I drew a butthole.
Now we did one of Doug's dreams last week. Unless we have any other pressing business, I have a dream I've been holding on to for a while. This is your first time tuning in, something we do on occasion is recount some surreal and cinematic dreams. I know it doesn't sound interesting, but it gets interesting. I think it's an interesting practice.
It'll be hard to beat Boar's earphone.
Oh,
story.
I know. This is gonna be.
It won't turn it on.
Ridiculous.
I mean, that's nuts.
It's insane. It's like, what century are we living in here?
Are you guys mocking me?
Now, to be fair, you told us straight up, look, this is probably not that interesting. Like you prefaced it completely. So no. Full credit to you, sir. Cap is doing the opposite. He's like, sometimes we'll share an interesting dream. So now it's on you, man. The onus is on you. You gotta bring it. So
yeah,
I didn't promise
interesting.
So. Yeah, fact. All right. Fact update.
So in this dream, I don't tend to have awareness of, say, a physical presence for myself, but sometimes mostly I perceive myself in dreams from an external cinematic standpoint. In this case, it did appear that I was like in a first person perspective and I was maybe 4 or 5 years old and had the height as such, but I had my present day consciousness and also my iPhone. I don't actually remember that being important that I had my iPhone, but it was the thing. And I was in my old, I was back in time, essentially. Mm-hmm. I was in my old neighborhood where I grew up, and I was excited at the possibility of experiencing it again and being more kind of aware of it because.
Did you Instagram the whole thing? Or?
Facebook Live streamed it.
I Periscoped it.
Periscoped it, yeah.
Which I guess.
Hey everyone, Periscope it from the past.
Facebook Live Stream is the. I assume that
version
the
of it,
Periscope
yeah.
is now evaporating because Facebook. I've seen so much Facebook live stream shit lately. Anyhow, the neighborhood I grew up in was a very multi-ethnic neighborhood. We had like some old Florida houses. This is in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale. Old Florida houses, apartment buildings that were like pretty serious slums in the 1970s. All sorts of different things piled up against each other. It was a very, very just mixed area. And as a little kid, I didn't go out into much because during the 70s, it was actually kind of dangerous. So my parents were like, you know, stay in the yard, don't go outside. I was pretty, like, turned me into kind of a shut-in, really. And now I'm a nerd. Surprise.
You were growing up during the 70s?
No, but I was in the early 80s. And
during the 70s, it was dangerous to go outside. The 80s, they were like, hey, don't go outside.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. And sorry, might have got confused.
I was like, whoa.
So,
man, you're looking good.
So there was this building that I'd never seen before. It was a multi-use community center, and it had this like conceptual architecture that was like being inserted into this low-income area. This architecture vaguely resembled kind of like brutalist sort of dystopian look. It was brick and poured concrete. They had dark copper-colored industrial pipes like all along the sides of it. Like what would maybe be like businesses or classrooms in the front of it, and then to these it was sort of a square building, but on the sides there were these diagonal passageways that were public restrooms. And it was kind of like, it was square in the center, but it was kind of star-like, almost like the shape of the Spanish fort, the Castillo de San Marcos.
Oh, I've been there.
There was lots of mixtures of African-American and Caribbean cultures there. There were lots of kids older than me. Some of them were in jumpsuits, and they were walking down this short corridor with these copper pipes. And at the end was a room filled floor to ceiling with control panels, like the inside of a spaceship or something. So they're all running along. There's this clear door, and they're sealed in there. All of a sudden, they're working on something. It seals shut. It's like there's an emergency. There's flashing lights. There's smoke and instructions. And like, I don't know what's going on. It's like they're doing some kind of a weird drill, and they're practicing this like space control simulator all of a sudden at this community center. And there's simulated explosions, and there's bursts of red and yellow jelly beans or Mike and Ikes inside of this containment field because they screwed up, but they're still being like, but this explosion, they want to keep it safe for kids, but it's still like red and yellow.
Is it the candy. Wonka factory?
I don't
jumpsuits and copper pipes and like brick and mortar. And all right.
If I was 4 or 5, like the Challenger explosion would have been around that time. So it was weird because I remember making the comment that it seemed unsettling for these kids to basically be living the Challenger explosion repeatedly, which presumably had just happened then. So was it a space school? Was it my school? Was I supposed to be going there? I wasn't sure what was going on, but I kind of knew that I was a time traveler. So, walked back into one of the corridors, and there was a small arcade with only two cabinets. There was a 90s-style racing cabinet, so a little bit too late, like maybe Daytona. And two guys came in and tried to steal it themselves, like a full racing cabinet. But they realized it was too heavy, so they stood guard while four other people came in and managed to lift it up and take it out. Then I went back to this further back room from there, and it was a tiled wall, and it had, for some reason, this big open room. It wasn't a bathroom, but it had like trough urinals, like at a like an old sports ball arena. I don't know if you've ever seen these, the weird stainless steel mm-hmm. basins everybody just pees in. Like,
it's oh,
weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing.
Like in a league of their own?
I've never seen that, so maybe.
Last time I saw one of those troughs, it was in a kitchen. They get really mad when you pee in it these days.
I was about to say, you sure it was a kitchen? It's like, oh yeah, they were mad when I peed in it. It's definitely a kitchen.
So, against the wall with the tiles was... and it kind of above the urinals, actually, was masking tape and photos of a timeline of the life of Donald Trump. From his rise to prevalence to what would be the present in the mid-80s, and it was ranking him from cool to loser. and then Donald Trump himself showed up and witnessed this thing. It was like, and he was like, he was really upset about it.
Era-appropriate Donald
Trump? Yeah, era-appropriate Donald Trump. And I had the thought of like, maybe I could say something to him that would make him less of an asshole. And like, I remember being like, hey, you're a smart kid. Why are you such a smart kid? Like, hey, smart kid. Like, I'm gonna keep talking to you, smart kid.
But I need some business advice.
So I thought, well, maybe I can do something here. Maybe I can get all this sorted out. But he drives away in a limousine, like he's gonna come back. And then
and he comes back with a box of Trump steaks.
I was at this, I go around the corner and there's this like, kind of like a window. It's like it's like a lunch counter. It's run by some Asians. It's got random items like cigarettes and pantyhose and this little like spinning rack outside. There's a Japanese woman working the counter, but she's eating a sandwich-sized bao. And a young Vietnamese boy in very simple and mangled Japanese attempts to converse with her and ask if he can have a bao. And she laughs at him. And I was like, were you asking to have some of this? And he's like, yes. So she teaches him the correct way to ask in Japanese and then rewards him with a small piece of sandwich. But then there's a slightly older girl nearby him and she asks if she could have some. And then the woman's like, oh no, what have I done? I've now
given away these pieces.
Now I have to feed all these children. And that's how the dream ends.
Huh.
Yeah. Make of that what you will. I'm sorry my retelling was a little bit sloppy. At this point, it's been months and months and months since this happened to me. So this is me recounting from very scattershot notes.
I think you need to, you know, when you're having these, so you remember all the fine details, you need to, you know, just record at the next possible time.
You mean like data? Like,
I think this was a very anti-liberal media dream. All the candy falling down suggests trickle down economics. the Challenger, you're saying, you know, NASA was wasteful spending. There's a lot of money, and they're just wasting it. You know, you're also saying Donald Trump asking for advice, and you're going to hook up with him later. You know, he seemed to be a cool dude. You know, you have him on a rating of cool to not cool.
He was not a cool dude.
He was not a cool dude.
But he was a very desperate. Oh no, he was not. That's why he was unhappy.
Where was he rated cool?
Or
is it just never go up to cool?
I don't recall the details of the chart. I just remember that this chart that was above the urinals in this like class space with urinals for some reason.
I was going to ask if it was flatlined.
Then you have, you know,
if the chart was just consistently uncool.
Then you, yeah. Then you also dreams,
I don't remember the details of, the chart.
Of immigrants complaining about things.
No.
And giving out free handouts and, oh no, now I got to feed people. So you've betrayed yourself, sir. You've shown your true colors and I'm ashamed to know you.
Lame, Doug.
I'm not the one who did the dream. I'm not the one who just dreamed about palling around with Donald Trump as a baby.
I'm confused as to why.
He probably stole your iPhone. That's why he drove away.
I can't tell if you're fake upset or actually upset or why.
The point of Trump being there, by the way, was an attempt to make this a publicity stunt of being in this like lower income multicultural like community center. Like that was a photo opportunity for him. And then he saw that he himself was being raided and was very upset. So that, I don't know,
make that for what that's worth.
Yeah. I did not appreciate him being in my dreams. I certainly have better things to do.
Did you give any advice or you didn't get a chance? You'd have to meet up later.
I recall that I was mostly trying to figure out the best way to work that situation. Because obviously, it's tricky. When you acknowledge that you yourself are a time traveler and you have the opportunity to manipulate the future, you don't want to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a threat of that, I'm sure. Anyway, we got anything else or are we getting the hell out of here? I mean, what's going on?
Recently I started watching the second season of Dark Matter, which I have talked about. It was probably almost a year ago now. But in my opinion, it's still one of the best sci-fi shows that's currently airing. That they're still making new episodes. I believe the second season is now over. But in the new season, they changed the dynamics up of the crew a little bit. And they started to go into some really interesting sci-fi themes, like there's some interdimensional travel. They're going into similar things to what Next Generation tried to explore with Commander Data, and that their android is showing signs of sentience, and they're kind of going through that sort of a, you know, at what point is something alive, but in a newer spin on it. And it's a super, super great show that I highly recommend to everyone. That's Dark Matter. It's airing on Sci-Fi. Definitely check it out.
It's a good thing for Sci-Fi to have a great show.
Yeah.
Because they don't have many of those.
There's also Killjoys is pretty good. That one's also still airing. I haven't watched it a lot. I kind of left it off somewhere in the first season and haven't gotten back to it. But Dark Matter season one is for sure on Netflix, so that's real easy for people to pick up and watch. The second season isn't on Netflix yet, but should be pretty soon. So seriously, watch that show.
I'll see you in about 5 years.
Hey, by then they might have more seasons and you can just binge all of them.
Yeah, I'll be on season three by that point.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm so bad at watching shows in bulk. I'm so, so bad.
Mm.
It's just, I don't know. I don't want to get down that road. Media consumption. I gotta produce media. It's hard to consume media and produce media simultaneously. That's a very tricky thing. Never underestimate how tricky that is.
Isn't that what Twitch streaming is?
Yes, it is.
Consuming media and producing media at the same time?
Yes. But I'm not doing that, so... Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's the answer for getting Cap up to speed on things. Like, oh, we're going to film you,
Twitch,
so watch.
Twitch stream him watching Dark Matter.
I would like to think that no one will want to consume that product, though. So what's the point of making such a product?
Someone would.
Well, at least
there's YouTube videos of people.
You're getting two things done at once. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're killing two birds with one stone. There's a whole fad of people watching people eat online.
One thing less because I'm multitasking it to death.
You could just make a YouTube channel where you just eat things and people would watch it.
Nobody being interested in it has never stopped a single Twitch streamer.
Never stopped anything. Yeah, never.
It ain't me, man.
Nobody wants to watch most of the stuff that's on Twitch, but, you know, it's still there.
It's like, hey, what's on?
I don't know. It's not for me. And I don't just mean doing it. I mean watching it as well.
You don't have to watch it. You just do it. Just start eating and put the camera on you. And then just like, you can do all three. You can be eating while playing a game. And that's like triple productive. That's crazy. That's crazy levels.
Yeah. Stream it all.
At this point, you'd be crazy not to do it.
No, it's not clicking. It's not connecting with me. I don't know what it is.
All right, I tried.
I don't know what it is. It's just something about it. I don't know. I do still very much want to stream me doing, or Twitch stream me doing the NES Willow game, but there's a lot of setup involved in making that happen. So, yeah.
Why is there a lot of setup?
Well, for me, to make it so I can do it comfortably.
Because it's an old Nintendo game.
Yeah. And also then to block out time.
I can help you out
with
that. We can do it in 10 minutes.
Great. I don't know when I can play the game, but great.
I just want you to know that the only hurdle to this, doing this, is yourself.
I'm glad to hear it because I thought it was going to be more complicated.
No, it's not complicated at all. We can get her done.
I also need to buy a new NES or NES replacement of some kind because the current one is not so hot.
That's not a hurdle.
I know it's you know, I got to go to a store and I got to spend money,
or go to your computer and buy one online.
I mean, the smartest way to do an NES stream is to just do it in an emulator.
Nah.
And then,
nah.
If you want to make it super complicated by getting a console and doing it that way, then, you know, you're gonna have a problem because then you need a capture card, one that probably some sort of conversion.
I don't
from
play
like,
video games on a computer. No, it's right out. I ain't doing it.
That's because you're amateur. It's amateur over here with
this guy. All right, well, this project is never happening.
You said it would take 10 minutes. And now it's like, nah, it's never happening.
If you wanted to do it the normal way.
With an emulator?
Yeah.
That's not normal. You're not playing. The normal way is playing it on a controller.
The normal way is
a
plastic cartridge inside a machine that you load like a VCR with a controller that's weirdly boxy.
If you're a Twitch player doing that, you're probably not going to see almost anybody doing that on Twitch.
Well, that's why I'm unique. I'm a unique snowflake. Well,
but you're refusing to do it, so we're back to square one again.
I'm not refusing to do it.
It's not
happening. I just haven't made the time to do it.
It's over. It's not going to happen.
You're telling me. First you were like, it can happen. Now you're like, it can't happen. And I know it was within the parameters of streaming from an emulator, like anybody can do that. I'm not anybody. I'm me. And I stream from a Nintendo Entertainment System or a reasonable facsimile thereof.
Well, I'm not going to help you with that one, so good luck.
And you're just being prejudiced now. You're like, what is this, a ballpoint pen? Gross. Give me a stylus or my finger. Disgusting. Your analog technology makes me sick.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's my attitude with life in general.
Mm-mm.
Have you ever talked to me about records? Don't even bring those up.
I won't.
Don't even bring those up around me.
Well, hey, John West, you're in good company with him. He's fucking furious about it.
About records?
About records.
Why is he furious about records?
Same reason you are.
Because they're dumb?
Yeah, you don't believe in the audio quality of the records, and I understand that lossless formats like AUG and FLAC make sure that you know there's no need for vinyl. There's many imperfections to vinyl. I understand the argument, but I still like them. So that's my argument.
Even Mark has started to backpedal on his love of records. I mean, he still loves them, but he has admitted that audio can be just as good or better not on vinyl. When I was pretty taken aback by that, and I thought, man.
Well, you can't argue Mark with the science of it.
I never thought he would concede on that.
Hmm. Only a matter of time before technology just catches up.
I mean, in my opinion, you can replicate that warm sound by just putting a filter on your digital audio. Give you the same effect. But I said you shouldn't talk to me about records, and here we are.
No thanks. Well, let's play a record, and by a record I mean a single, and by a single I mean
a single. Song.
Yeah, a song. This is a new track from by Mrs. Paintbrush, aka Jackson, of the amazing weird rap group Grand Buffet, who predated nerdcore by many years and are not really of that genre, but in many ways were a factor in creating that genre. He's got a new single out. He releases something for his birthday every year in September, and so this year we got a track called Piano Man Jr. You can hear all kinds of Miss Paintbrush tracks, including some weird, rare stuff.
It's on a man Nerdy FM that does Mrs. Paintbrush?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Twisted Sister.
And does it air after or before Picture Page? It sounds kind of like an old show you would watch. You know, Mrs. Paintbrush.
It's like,
let's watch Mrs. Paintbrush.
It's like MS Paintbrush, like, but it's Miss.
Oh, okay, got it.
Nice.
There you go.
And now we understand things.
MS Paint Twitch stream. That has to happen.
I'm sure someone's done it. I'm sure someone is doing it right this very minute.
I'm going to look it up.
But if Cap does it, it'll be like with a webcam pointing at the TV.
The TV.
With an old SNES.
Yeah, Mario Paint Stream. That's not uncommon. People do that.
In emulators.
What kind of asshole is using the Nintendo mouse and mouse pad? It's bullshit.
Ski free. Bullshit. You got to do ski free Twitch.
Minesweeper Twitch.
Minesweeper. Well, that's tension.
Anyway, fuck this shit. Here's Piano Man Jr. by Mrs. Paintbrush. You can hear more of his tracks on Nerdy FM, our nerd music radio station online, or on your app store.
Shanty, shit cannon and kickstand, grown women and man can't be leaning on lightweight, life coach, upright, D-I-A-N-O, kept close, just in case inspiration strikes, Billy Joel out of control, until the night. Hey, I spy a tough guy in a huff, handcuffed to a hubcap, chained up to a rusted out Catholic school bus wheel well, the catalytic burning the deal fell through. You poppy seed mopping the piss test. You French kissed the dead dog's dick and did sex with a 6 foot stack of blue, black, paleozoic insects. Take 2 steps back. I attract opposites, venomous opera hits. William Martin, Joel's Park, Apocalypse, Fire, Arctic Glit, Rhyme, Misanthropic Trips, Kipper Snacks, and the Tropical Doctor's Kit. Drives Poseidon stride dead through the Trinity. Holy roller diver down drastic. Tragedy struck a sailboat's mast split. The richer they were, the harder they drowned. I watch it happen from a Cape May compound. People swoon me cause they're lucky to see me. Plucking an upright Steinway on TV. Don't sign CDs or promo glossies. Get your hands off me, someone get me a coffee. It's arduous, authoring timeless ballads. At the chateau, picking at Niçoise salads. Too much cognac and cut cocaine.
stage lights blast the main attraction. Dressing factions of fans demanded. A rock Rachmaninoff suite played one-handed. God damn it, I'll grant you that, because I got the chops and plus the house is packed. Q&A backstage after the concert. I've got the wisdom the journalists wanted. All stock material, I'm not impressed when asked about Elton, Joel, and who's best. Crocodile rocks are right, but not quite provocative like Joel Smash hits on My Life. A proto mob prerogative swipe of negative types that might attempt to prevent one's right to fight to attain individual gain. Plus his right hand rhythmic game is so profane. He's percussive, my cascade's tropical. Fronting's not optional, though you've been trying, stop it. Nobody amalgamates rock and roll. Ragtime and new age quite so optimal. ESV, I mean that truly. Farewell, fuck off, they can't outdo me. Puppeteer, pioneer, shipwreck, shanty, shit can in the kickstand, grown women and men can't be leaning on lightweight life coach, upright, P-I-A-N-O, kept close, just in case inspiration strikes. Billy Joel out of control, tonight.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Nerdy Show. I don't know, fuck it. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audio Boom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listeners support entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or finding the network via Patreon. We're fucking
like,
it.
Sounds like sounds like a young gal dap.
This is 80s Wall Street Galdap. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, hookers, blow, episodes, and images from across the network. There's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. Go fuck yourself. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. Why not? We'll endorse your product and then we'll use the money to, we'll get it from the ATM machine, the automated teller machine, and we'll roll it up and we'll snort cocaine. Off of a mirror.
Off of the dot matrix printer.
off of a dot matrix printer. The finest money can buy. For more podcast articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, they've got it covered. Now, I believe you owe me about $350.
That's when you hear the door close, footsteps running, the car starts and drives away.
What the fuck was this? This weird-ass episode we recorded.